morning, everybody. I'd like to welcome everybody to Senate Finance and coming in on a Sunday as we wrap up this legislative session. It is April 19th, 2009. It's 15 minutes after 11 a.m. And with me today is my co-chair, Senator Hoffman, Senator Ellis, Senator Olson, Senator Thomas, and Senator Huggins, and myself, Stedman. We have three pieces of labor today on the agenda. Start with House Bill 151, Use, Regulation, and Operation of Boats. It came to us late in the session, but it's an important issue, so we're going to have that on the calendar today, followed by a presentation, Stampede State Recreation Area, by our colleague, Senator Thomas, and then we're going to go on to House Bill 113, the supplemental bill, and we'll probably have a recess before then. So I'd like to go ahead and start today by bringing up House Bill 151, Use, Regulations, and Operation of Boats. This is the first hearing on this bill. The intent today is to introduce the bill, take public testimony, and see what the concerns and issues are, and then look to the will of the committee. We have with us today Representative Newman from the other body, the sponsor of the bill, and Representative Newman can introduce himself for the record and who he represents, and walk us through the bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Mark Newman, District 15. I've got my staff's been working very hard on this. Jim Ellis, he can go through it. The bottom line is this is the project, the program that puts the life jackets at the boat launches, teaches kids to swim in the schools. So if you like that idea, you'll probably like this bill, and I'll let my staff take it from there.
You want to introduce yourself for the record and who you work for?
The chair, for the record, my name is James Ellis. I work for Representative Mark Newman. Here to present HB 151. This is a sunset extension of the Alaska Boating Safety Program. In its current form, it will extend the program for 1 year. The program began in the year 2000. It's funded through a mix of federal grant funding plus some license receipts. The program, if this bill doesn't pass, will terminate before the next session due to a conflict with the federal fiscal year grant cycles. So far, the program has taught over 63,000 children in Alaska boating safety. In addition, there have been 1,400 adults educated through their adults program, and there are 104 instructors across the state. They also provide some training to state troopers and other law enforcement officers. Some things the program provides, as Representative Newman has mentioned, the Kids Don't Float life vests. So far, there have been over 20,000 distributed in 514 life station or life vest stations in 153 communities in Alaska. They often do this with partnerships with local organizations. This program has overall been a fairly good success. Since it started, there have been a 20% decrease in boating fatalities, increased compliance with basic boating safety standards and rules, and there have been 17 children who have been rescued while wearing the life vests. If you have any more questions, I can answer them, or there are some people online who know more than I do.
Do we have any initial questions from the committee? Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim, just one thing. I read a little bit on this yesterday, and as I recall, that this provision has been in place for about 8 years, which you said 17 lives have been saved, which is significant. So I say that's a good thing if we're averaging a couple a year. So,
and we recognize the coastline we have in the large rivers and the challenges we have dealing with life safety issues on our rivers and coastline, and we want to do what we can to protect our citizens, and particularly the kids that happen to go down there, that a lot of parents don't have the funds available to buy life jackets and or don't buy life jackets, so they're available at the head of the docks so the kids could grab a life jacket and go down there with their fishing pole or other places and have a safe time as they recreate and enjoy Alaska's great outdoors. We'll go, if there's no other questions. We do have one fiscal note. $364,500 for FY10 and FY11. We have in the off-net Mr. Jeff Johnson, Office of Boating Safety. If he could introduce himself for the record, who he represents, and speak to the bill, please. Mr. Johnson.
Chairman Stedman, my name is Jeff Johnson. I'm the manager of the Alaska Boating Safety Program, and I'm here to answer any questions.
Okay. And Mr. James King, if you can identify yourself and who you represent and speak to the bill.
Yes, my name is James King, and I'm the director of the Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation for the state of Alaska. Senator, you did a wonderful job of explaining the incredible benefits to this program, to the residents of this state. I just wanted to quickly mention the fiscal note. That is boater registration fees that then turn around and go back into the program. The bulk, the rest of the program is funded through a federal grant. As has already been said, that the Kids Don't Float loaner life jacket boards across the state have been a tremendous success, getting those life jackets in the hands of kids. The education effort for kids and adults, we've seen a huge success in that. And the exciting thing is lives have been saved, and boating, recreational boating fatality deaths have gone down significantly, 20%. So I think that's enough for my point. We just think it's a tremendously valuable program and would like to see it continue. Thank you.
Okay, we have two fiscal notes from the Department of Natural Resources, one reflecting $1,450,000 in federal receipts, which is included in the FY10 capital budget. We were set up and waiting for this piece of legislation to come over. That concludes the call-ins. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to come forward and speak to this? Seeing none, any final questions? Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee pass out CS Frost Bill 151 Finance with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Okay, we have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move the bill from committee to the next committee of referral. We're now going to go to the next piece of labor today, which is a presentation. We have a presentation that's going to be made by Senator Thomas, and it concerns the Stampede State Recreation Area, which is going to be worked on. There's some issues that are going to be worked on over the interim and be brought back for committee work next session. And I thought it would be nice to give Senator Thomas an opportunity to give the committee and the public a presentation to kind of warm us up to the work that's going to be reviews and so forth that are going to be done during the interim. With that, Senator Thomas.
Good morning, and thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Senator Joe Thomas, District D, Fairbanks North Star Borough, and the Denali Borough. I'm gratified to see so many people here today in support of the Stampede Recreation Area. We almost have a full gallery. The Stampede Road Corridor northwest of Healy and flanked on three sides by the Denali National Park is a traditional place for many Alaskans to hunt, fish, trap, snow machine, utilize off-road vehicles, mush, and pursue many other recreational activities. Senate SB 108 will preserve the traditional use of this area by creating the Stampede Recreation Area within the Stampede Corridor. Several years ago, former Governor Murkowski proposed to build a road through this area. This planned road was vehemently opposed by borough residents, as well as the recreational and traditional users group had an interest in keeping things the way they are. That road actually, as you can see, would run right to the park border, and into it actually is what is their plan. In an effort to preserve the area for use by residents and visitors, the Denali Borough Assembly designated the corridor as a Stampede State Recreation Area, with a strong emphasis on self-determination by the residents and users of the area. The current use of the area includes off-road and all-terrain vehicle use, watercraft use, snow machining, horseback riding, hiking, bicycling, dog sledding, cross-country skiing, ski-joring, camping, hunting, fishing, wildlife viewing, and photography, among others. All these activities would be protected and preserved under the proposed legislation. Recreational users of the area come from the Denali Borough, Fairbanks, Mat-Su, and Anchorage. Tourists and adventurers travel to the area from across the globe. The area supports several tourism-related businesses, including several lodges and road touring companies that rent all-terrain vehicles for use on the more primitive sections of the trail. The bill is supported by the Denali Borough Assembly, the Denali Chamber of Commerce, the Pangini Creek Homeowners Association, which is the neighborhood association for homes located along the Stampede Road, and the Denali Citizens Council. Additionally, my staff and I have hosted several constituents meeting on the proposed legislation in Fairbanks and the Denali Borough. By and large, the proposed area is supported by local residents and trail users. The main impetus behind the legislation is to protect the area for continued traditional use. I urge your support of SB 108 and am pleased to give you this presentation this morning so people can get a little better idea of the area that we're looking at here. Beautiful area, has been traveled by a lot of folks. One of the more infamous or famous, depending on how you look at it, episodes is the death of the young man, McCandless, that came to the state of Alaska to seek his Alaskan experience and ended up dying in the bus, as people refer to it, that has been almost all the way through the rec area, almost to the park boundary, placed there years ago by construction company that was doing some work on the road. And this is a good shot of what the road looks like. It's actually an RS-2477 trail, and you saw the earlier slide, I believe, that shows that it wanders just out and into the park for a little ways and then back in. And the area we're talking about is about...
Senator Thomas, could you explain what an RS-2477 is for those at home?
RS-2477 trails are those that existed before statehood in many areas throughout the state. They are... they go through all kinds of land. They go through state parks. They go through federal parks. They go through private land. And they are basically considered public domain that people can travel on. There's been a lot of controversy over that. I don't know, people may remember a guy from the interior that actually, Joe Vogler. Name slipped my mind, who actually ended up with a cat in trying to enter the park, I believe, and there was a big standoff there. However, those trails are all now being a little better delineated in an attempt to make sure that we retain that access for mining and a variety of other purposes. That's just kind of a thumbnail sketch of what the RS-2477 trails are. And they're all over the state. There's thousands of miles of them, actually. And here's a good shot of the proposed site. Small area right off of the Parks Highway, just north of Healy. Already has a variety of homes just in the area leading up to it, and some cabins exist in it. And like I said, there's a lot of tourists and other folks that come there every year for a little bit freer experience than you can actually get in the park. In the park, it's pretty restrictive to what you can do. You can ride in on a bus, and part of the year you can drive in, but it's pretty restricted experience. So, and not one that most Alaskans think is a great experience by riding a bus into the park. This one you can travel by horseback, four-wheeler, and snow machines in the winter. Great area.
So, does that conclude your...
That's pretty much it, I believe. And I appreciate the opportunity for people to get a little better idea of where it is and what the countryside looks like there. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I have a question. If we could back up a few slides, there's one slide with four photos in it. And just in the lower right-hand corner, there's some horned animal that runs wild and may be dangerous.
Yeah. Big one, too.
Can the residents of Southeast expect that type of hunting. It looks a bigger game animal than we have down here.
If you come up there, we could probably send some down here along with some wood bison if you want those.
We have any questions or anything? We're going to bring this issue back in the session next winter, and we're going to work on this. And the Finance Committee is planning on being in Fairbanks over the interim to have a meeting with the University of Alaska Board of Regents and other folks, and we'll take the opportunity at that time too to get a little more briefing on this issue that Fairbanks is, Senator Thomas is dealing with. So when we come back next winter, we'll all be better up to speed to deal with that subject.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Thomas, for the presentation. We're going to stand at ease to the call of the chair.
We'll call the Senate Finance Committee meeting back to order. It is 20 minutes after 3. Joining me today are my co-chairman, Senator Stedman, Senator Ellis, Senator Olson, Senator Huggins, and Senator Thomas. This afternoon, we're going to be hearing CS for Senate Bill 113, the 2009 supplemental budget. We'd have a motion to adopt the committee substitute, Senator Huggins, Senator Stedman.
Make a motion, Mr. Chairman, that we adopt committee substitute version M as our working document.
Is there objection? Seeing none, we'll adopt the CS. At this time, I would ask that my staff, Mr. Grusendorf, to come up and go over the changes that are in the CS from the bill that we had received from the other body.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Tim Grusendorf, staff to Senator Hoffman. In your packet, you should have work draft version M. You should have a sheet that shows the changes that we made, a little spreadsheet. And we will start just with the changes that were made by the Senate Finance Committee. The first change you will find on page 13, line 13. And that is that's for the sum of $115,000 from the general fund to the Commerce, Community, and Economic Development for a grant for the World Trade Center, Alaska. The second change you'll see is on page 13, line 17. And that is a reapprop for the Southeast Conference Committee, or Southeast Conference, and they're reapproping it from one project to another project that they're working on within Southeast Conference for $47,000. Page 13, line 22 is the third change, and it's to the Department of Corrections. And it is a unexpended and unobligated balance from the Department of Health and Social Services that's being reappropriated to the Department of Corrections for secure detoxification and treatment for involuntary substance abuse. The next change you'll find is on page 14, line 29, and it's contingent funding for HB 172 for the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education. Next change is on page 15. It's number 5 on your list. And it's the WIC Road reapprop of $944,400. In the capital budget, this funding was already used. So what this is doing is changing the wording. It's not a reapprop anymore. That money is now going to the McLaughlin Youth Center, and it's coming from the Capital Income Fund. The next change, number 6 on your list, is contingent language for HB 141, which is the Interstate Compact on Juveniles, and it's $45,000. So that's page 15, line 30. The next change you'll find is number 7 on your list, and that is for the sum of $31,300 from the general fund of the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs for veteran services for retirement benefits for members of the Alaska Territorial Guard. The number 8 on your list is also contingent language for the PFD deceased bill, which is SB 171, and it's 86.7 of interagency receipts. The next changes you'll find on page 22. Page 22, and it's in section J, which starts on line 2. And basically, there was some language in there that included international airport, and the Department of Transportation told us that they needed that language removed because so there wasn't any confusion on which ones they were going to be able to take from. So that language was deleted. The next change is on line 23. The sum of $800,000 is, and that's number 10 on your list, for the Whittier Tunnel rock slide. And that's coming out of the commercial passenger tax. And that money is also retroed back to the when the slide happened. And that's at the, and the retro language is in the very end of the bill. Number 11 is line on page, same page, line 27, the sum of $2 million from the capital income fund is to the Department of Transportation for the public facilities for Newtalk Road and evacuation shelter material. The next changes are on page 28. Line 12, the sum of $4.322 million is appropriated from Alaska Income Fund to the Office of the Governor for the development of in-state natural gas pipeline. The next one is on, number 13 is on line 15, is a reappropriate from Department of Natural Resources to the Governor's Office for the development of an in-state natural gas pipeline. Number 14 on your list, the revenue sharing is on line 19, and that's a fund transfer for $60 million from general fund to the community revenue sharing fund. And the last change is number 15 on page 28, line 22, is the constitutional budget reserve for the sum of $1,111,914,700. And that is to fund forward fund education, the education fund. And there are some changes, technical, or some changes in section 22. Most of them are contingencies for when, if some of these bills don't pass, it's just contingency language says if, basically if the bills don't pass, the money will be withdrawn. And that, or that is the changes between the Senate CS, SCS and the House bill as it came over.
Thank you for that explanation, Mr. Grusendorf. We also have Legislative Director David Teal to answer any additional technical questions if committee members have any questions. Do we have any questions on the presentation? No questions. Then we do have an amendment that I would like the committee to consider. Regarding the intent language on the use of the in-state gas appropriations that are going to the Office of the Governor. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number one.
And maybe you could briefly describe the amendment for the committee.
Yeah.
I'll object for purpose of discussion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. And essentially, as described by the chairman, this is intent language to plan, coordinate, facilitate construction, ownership, management of natural gas pipeline. And there's it's broad language that would serve Fairbanks, South Central region of the state, and other communities whenever practical, connecting and enhancing existing gas pipeline reaching to tidewater. Calls for the full analysis of alternative routes, preparing cost estimates, and moving along as far as the application for right-of-ways and transfers of those right-of-way permits to be received with compensation by an entity best to complete the project. And I'll just jump forward in the for the accountability of it. The money goes to the Office of the Governor, which will report monthly to the President, the Senate, the Speaker of the House, and all legislators as far as the progress, expenditure money, contracting, and things, other things of that nature. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there, I'll remove my objection. Is there further objection to the amendment number one? Seeing none, amendment number one passes. Is there any further discussion regarding the House Bill 113? Seeing none, Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we move out of committee Senate CS for CS for House Bill Number 113, Finance Version M, as amended, with individual recommendations.
Are there objections to the motion? Seeing none, so ordered. Brief at ease. We'll come back to order. This is the last meeting of the Senate Finance Committee. Senator Stedman, do you have any comments that you'd like to make at this point?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to go ahead and thank the committee members for all the work they've done this year, and in particular thank all the Senate Finance staff and supporting staff around the room. I think this year went very smooth at the table. Some of the folks have commented that it almost went too smooth, but it's nice to have a functioning, well-informed committee, and I'd just like to thank everybody in particular, again, the support staff for all the work, because without them, things wouldn't be very smooth around here.
And I would like to echo those comments as well. David Teal has done a tremendous job for the committee, keeping us abreast of what is happening, and I would also like to thank the members of the Finance Committee and all of their hard work on the operating budget this last year and their staffs. Does any committee members have any final words? Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would, on behalf of myself and other members, just like to thank the co-chairs, number one, for the leadership. But most important, what I'm fixing to say is that in my limited time here in Juneau and looking at the budget process, this has been the most synchronized, most cooperative, and coordination between the House and the Senate, and whether it be the operating budget or the capital budget or the other budgetary activities. And I think the confidence level of Alaskans should have risen significantly, because it is a major enhancement, in my estimation, in producing a quality product for Alaska.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Brief at ease. Come back to order.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move that Ledge Finance and Ledge Legal make technical changes as needed in the document.
We have a motion for technical changes. Is there objection? Seeing none, so ordered. With that, the business of the Senate Finance Committee is closed out for the year. We're adjourned.